going to go ahead and welcome in now DC Hendricks, our ESPN NBA college basketball and high school basketball expert. You can hear him on DC, the crossover with DC. Check it out, ESPNFortWayne.com. DC, first and foremost, man, it seems like every time we get you on the show, there's some new controversy, and there's been a lot of heat behind the king here of late. He's been complaining a little bit about the officiating. I want to hear straight from your mouth, man. You are the basketball guy. Is this warranted? Has he earned the right to complain? And is this a justified complaint coming from the best basketball player in the league?
I find it a little bit hypocritical. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, Durant didn't get a call when they faced Cleveland on Christmas Day. And LeBron sided with the referees. Because Durant came out with comments saying that, you know, he feels like we're a little bit rough on the refs, you know, things like that. And then LeBron agreed with him, you know, so that, you know, we're a little bit rough on the refs. And then now, you know, he didn't get a call. So now all of a sudden, now he has a problem. This is kind of part of my personal issue with LeBron. I don't think I've ever even said this on air on here, but I respect LeBron's greatness. He's one of the best to ever do it. But just some things that he does, it takes away from his legacy just a little bit for me. And that's just one example of it. You can't come out and side with the refs and then a couple weeks later, new year, new me, and you, all of a sudden you got to change your heart and you didn't get a call, so you have a problem. You know, and that's the thing. It's not just against him. Like, the refs are terrible, man, in every sport. I look at baseball. There's umpires that made some terrible calls throughout the playoffs, even the World Series. You look at the NBA Finals last year. I mean, Stephen Curry, who never fouls out of a game, gets ejected. You know, it's just in all sports. Football, you know, we're coming off a national championship even that had very questionable calls in. So every sport is suffering from it. So I do agree that, you know, there's been a drop off, you know, in terms of quality, in terms of referees. I think something needs to be done, but just the credibility for LeBron to come out like this, you know, to me is just kind of hypocritical.
Biggest thing for me is I don't care if they're bad or good. Got to be consistent. Consistency to me is more important than really getting it right. And that's the thing that we're seeing that becomes an issue because they're not being consistent throughout the season, throughout the game, and even from start to finish in an actual game. They're not consistent in that aspect, and I think that's where we're seeing some frustration from that as well. One of our listeners, Maxwell, always texts in a question. His question yesterday, his first one, was centered around basketball, and I knew you were going to be on the show today, so I kind of pushed it off to today. But he wants to know, if the season ended today, who do you have for the MVP, the Rookie of the Year, and who do you have for the sixth man in the NBA?
You know, if we're giving out midseason awards, MVP, I mean, that could go between two players right now. Obviously, James Harden has been balling out for the Houston Rockets this year. Westbrook, the triple-double machine, I think he just got another one either last night or the night before. He's already tied the total triple-double amount that he had all through last season. technically not even halfway through yet. So between those two guys, you really can't go either way. You can't help, though. But to look at the standings right now, you know, that plays some part into it. You know, where is the team at? Where do you have your team playing? Mm-hmm. And the Thunder are a playoff team. Yes, they are. But what Houston is doing right now, what James Harden is doing with the Rockets as the new point guard, taking on a completely new role, leading this team as the point guard, as a 6'6 guard. What he's done with this team, having them number three in the Western Conference, would be number one in the East. You know, they have three more wins than the Cleveland Cavaliers even. So I think you have to give it to Harden right now. I mean, he's averaging 28 points a game. He has 11.8 assists, leading the NBA. And just not even just that, the team around him, Harden's made his guys just slightly better than Westbrook. Now, I know Harden has a little bit more to work with. I get that. I will be lying to you if I didn't. But, you know, you look at three-pointers made. That's one thing I really want to focus on in terms of players. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Stephen Curry's number one. Number two is Eric Gordon. So you talk about an Indiana guy,
right, yeah,
you know, making big noises here. Eric Gordon for the Houston Rockets is second. James Harden is third in the NBA. And then rounding out the top five is Ryan Anderson, who also plays for the Houston Rockets. That's three guys with over 100 three-pointers each. You know, that's making your team better. And with them being number three in the West, I got to give Harden the MVP nod as of right now. In terms of rookie of the year, I already said it. I'm sticking by it. It's Joel Embiid. You know, off of technicalities, I get it. He's not a rookie, you know, actually. But, you know, technically, it's the first year he's on the court. So I think Embiid's going to run away with it. I honestly don't think it's even close. They could just they give it to him now if they want to. you know, not even have any controversy. But I think Embiid will be rookie of the year. And then sixth man, I just named him. It's Eric Gordon. You know, he's been coming off the bench most of the season over, you know, all the way up until mid-December. He's been, you know, coming off the bench. I think he started a couple times just due to injuries, but he's a bench player. He's a sixth man, and for him having 145 three-pointers coming off the bench, only three behind Stephen Curry himself in the NBA. So I got to give the sixth man right now to Eric Gordon.
Once again, we're joined here by DC Hendricks, our basketball expert here on ESPN Radio. You can check out his podcast, The Crossover with DC. Check it out, ESPNFortWayne.com. As we just got done talking a little bit of the NBA basketball variety, let's look at the at college basketball as we start to see separation. Not really. We haven't seen a lot of separation this year. We've seen a lot of parity in college basketball. Earlier this week on the show, we ranked the four teams that were already previously ranked in college basketball here in the state: Butler, Notre Dame, Purdue, and IU. It's like I'm forgetting IU because they've been playing so bad of late. We had, at least for me, I have Purdue number one, Butler two, Notre Dame three, and IU four. What do you think? If you had to rank those four teams right now, who do you have one through four out of Butler, Purdue, IU, and Notre Dame?
Well, I'm not trying to be boring here and just agree with you, but that's about where I have it. With the loss to Creighton with Butler, I think that drops them just a little bit. You could still have number one, to be honest. The victory over Villanova speaks high volumes to me, you know, regardless of the loss to Creighton. But I would have to give the nod to Purdue right now, just right now. They're playing the best ball, you know, Caleb Swanigan. I mean, I talked about giving awards out right now in the NBA. You could just go ahead and give him Player of the Year award, Big Ten Player of the Year award, you know, go ahead and enter the draft if you want to, Swanigan. I mean, he's one of the best players in all of college basketball
easily.
Right now. And, yeah, easily. And, you know, you mentioned guys around him like P.J. Thompson and Klein and other guys that have stepped up for this team. You know, the supporting cast has played much better than what people anticipated. And this is what the expectations were for last season. And I think they're finally reaching that. And, I mean, hopefully they're not a first-round exit. because it's almost kind of like deja vu. But I think this team's a little bit more disciplined. Swanigan has improved a much more than anyone. You know, you look at the Hoosiers, for example. You know, Thomas Bryant, a lot of hype with him, a lot of hype with Anunoby coming into the season. And you look at the progression of Swanigan, I mean, his progression by himself has been more than any of the Hoosiers' top guys are preseason All-American. So that, to me, would set Purdue apart just from other teams, just having the one star. You need a star, you know, if you really want to, you know, be one of the perennial teams in college basketball. And I think eventually that kind of thing catches up with a Butler that, you know, Notre Dame really right now either. I mean, VJ Beachum, high expectations for him as well. But he hasn't really played up to expectations either. So right now I got to go Purdue. I'm going to go Butler. I'm going to go Notre Dame. And then I'm going to go IU for the top four teams in Indiana.
Like it. I like it. I like when we see eye to eye on a lot of different things. I like that. Makes me feel good about myself because you're the basketball guy.
Hey, yeah, right now, until we get to the tournament, and then you know who I'm going with then. I'm going with the Fighting Irish.
I know. You're a big Irish guy. And that's the thing. It's been hard for me because being a Notre Dame fan, it's hard for me, especially with the position that we have, to kind of be somewhat impartial. I mean, in the sense of, obviously, you feel like Notre Dame's better than they are at times when you are a fan. They're a good basketball team, and they have a big test coming up. They got a big three-game stretch. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. That is really important for them, but they really haven't beaten anybody but Louisville at home. And that's the biggest thing. No Indiana team yet has really had a statement win on the road. And that's what I'm waiting for to see as the conference play starts to pick up. Can one of these teams separate with getting one of those big, tough wins on the road?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the biggest thing with the Indiana Hoosiers. I mean, most of the season, I mean, we all know what happened up here in Fort Wayne, so I'm not going to bring that up. I know Hoosier fans already hate me for bringing that up on the regular on my podcast, but I hate to it, but, you know, it's just one example. You know, you got to win on the road if you're going to be a top team. you know, in your conference. And Indiana Hoosiers haven't done it. I mean, they're just coming off a loss to Maryland as well. I think the first team, I mean, I wouldn't say Iowa is a big, you know, big win for Purdue on the road. But I think with the statement win right there, but the team that I'm looking at, you just mentioned it. You know, Notre Dame has some big games coming up here. They got Miami tonight. They got Virginia Tech coming up this Saturday. And then the big matchup I'm looking for, I know it's almost a week away, but I'm looking at next Wednesday. I'm looking at that Florida State matchup who's coming off that big win over Duke. If Notre Dame can get that win on the road, that's it. That's all they're going to need, you know, for some bragging rights in that conference. Because, I mean, technically right now, Notre Dame's 14-2, sitting with a great record, you know, in college basketball. So with the win right there, I think that's really going to open some eyes, and I think that'll set them apart.
Once again, D.C. Hendricks, our ESPN basketball expert when it comes to NBA, college, or high school. Check out his podcast, The Crossover with D.C. Again, great stuff. Find it, ESPNFortWayne.com. D.C., always a pleasure, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, man. Looking forward to it. Just hit me up. I'm on.